Monster Energy. Everybody knows White Monster, Zero Ultra. That's the OG. It kicked off this whole zero sugar energy drink thing. But Ultra is a whole lineup now. You've got Strawberry Dreams, Blue Hawaiian, Sunrise, and Vice Guava. And they all bring the Monster Energy punch. So if you've been living in the white can, branch out. Ultra's got a flavor for every vibe. And every single one is zero sugar. Tap the banner to learn more.
On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, it is Canelo Alvarez fight week. He's taking on John Ryder in Mexico for the first time in a very long time. So we'll give you everything you need to know about that fight. We got some more news on Ryan Garcia. Can't go a week on this show without talking about Ryan Garcia. Regis Progre is in the news. Deontay Wilder, unfortunately, is in the news for something that wasn't so great, but I think he'll be all right. Anyway, let's go. Song in my head. Bam, bam, bam. What is up, everybody? Welcome in another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I am Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algieri, the former world champion, the man, the mayor of Plant City, Florida, your go-to for all your cooking needs, and the man of the hour. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just got the Plant City getting ready for these fights. Yeah, fights on Pro Box coming up this week, every 2 weeks. Pretty cool.
I want Pro Box needs to start giving me some cash for the amount that we talk about Pro Box on this show.
That's a good point. We should work out some kind of deal.
Put me in touch with Mr. Pro Box. Is that his name?
Mr. Pro Box is a hard man to get a hold of, but I got an in.
Okay, yeah. So big weekend over in Plant City, or big week. I love that, the midweek fights. We got ourselves a big weekend in boxing. Big because it's Canelo Alvarez, of course. It's a big thing. He is the money man in boxing still. A lot of questions swirling around Canelo. We'll get to all that in a little bit. Also, we'll start, I guess, with Ryan Garcia. I thought we were putting a button on this fight. I was like, just when I thought it was all over, you know, we did multiple episodes on it and multiple short-form stuff on our social media. Ryan goes and splits from Joe Goosen. What was your initial reaction to Ryan splitting with Joe? I can't say I'm shocked because some of the things I heard.
No, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, he's taken a page out of Oscar De La Hoya's book. Whenever he lost the fight back in the day, he would switch trainers. But also, I mean, we spoke about it on air. Maybe not on air. You and I definitely spoke about it. There was nothing I saw from Ryan Garcia's training leading up to the Tank fight that I saw any difference. I mean, from what he does, whether it's pad work or bag work or whatever. And then in light of some of the things that came out, which you never know, there's two, three, four sides to every story, but, yeah, not a shocker by any means.
Fourth trainer now at age 24, Oscar had seven trainers in his career, and someone went back and found it. He changed trainers a lot early on in his career. He definitely changed trainers a lot later in his career. It's something that fighters do mostly later on when they're looking for something, or they don't, a lot of times it comes down to money. I remember, you know, Danny Jacobs, Henri Rozier, you probably knew all about that. They had a famous split. Gennady Golovkin and Abel Sanchez had a famous split because it comes down to money. Get to a certain level where, you know, 10% is a lot and they just want to give a flat fee. I don't think that was the case with Ryan and Joe. I think it was a case of not being on the same page. Once I heard Goosen say that line, he did an interview during the week of the fight and he said, "You don't train Ryan Garcia, you collaborate with him." What, have you ever heard that in all your days in boxing?
Never heard it said outright like that, but I understand it. I know, you know, listen, we as a fighter, you got to be the boss of your camp, but you've got to also be able to take training, take coaching. And I don't know, a term, someone saying something like that almost seems like, and again, alluding to what I said earlier about watching videos of him training, he didn't look like he was being coached to do anything different than he had ever done. So you can lead a horse to water. You know, I was asked like, who's going to be the you know, the next trainer who could write the ship with Ryan? I'm like, no one. It's Ryan. If Ryan wants to write the ship, if he's willing to go back to the drawing board and learn, because the kid is so talented, he's so physically gifted, and he has the roots and the fundamentals from literally childhood. But I mean, you have to repeat. Boxing is so difficult, and it's such a nuanced sport. It's something that has to be worked on consistently over time, week to week to week, month to month to month, year to year to year. Otherwise, you're going to plateau. Yeah. And the best guys in the world don't plateau. They keep getting better.
Yep. I know that Ryan's family plays a big role in his team, his parents. His dad was his trainer for a large portion of his life and in his professional career. His brother was in the corner on Fight Night. I know they were in his ear a lot, in addition to Joe. So it was a lot of voices. We talked about that on a previous show. A lot of cooks in the kitchen between his promotional stuff with Oscar, and I heard it's a little icy there. They didn't show up to the post-fight presser. Joe now with his trainer, and I put out on one of my videos, it's like he's kind of at, I wouldn't say a career crossroads. It comes off as pretty dramatic, but okay, he just suffered his first loss. He needs a new trainer. Not getting along with his promotional team. I mean, that's a lot for a 24-year-old. It's a lot for someone at this stage in his career. So yeah, he kind of is at like a very big part of his career at age just 24 years old.
100% he's at a crossroads in his career. If he doesn't make any changes, this is the, I wouldn't say the end of the line, but I mentioned the plateau. This is where he stays. And if he doesn't make changes with his team and his camp and the way that he approaches the fights, I don't know how far he can really go. The ceiling just got a lot lower because of these kind of out of the ring situations. If you're not progressing, you're degrading.
Yeah,
that's,
I think,
how the sport is.
No, 100%. You got to keep it moving forward, man. Oh, yeah, like you said, you're going backwards. Robert Garcia comes to mind. He is a California trainer, so Ryan's a California guy. I know Joe had to pick up and move to San Diego. I actually talked to Joe Goosen like two years ago when he first got hired by Ryan, and he was telling me how like it was a big decision for me. You know, I'm 68, 67, whatever old he is, and he's like, I got a family, I got grandkids. You know, Ryan wants me in San Diego. I had to talk about it with my family. So that's a big part of this. You know, Ryan Garcia seems like he wants his trainers to be with him in San Diego or wherever in Southern California. Robert Garcia comes to mind, offensive-minded coach, kind of somewhat of at least he gives off the impression that he's no-nonsense type of guy. What do you think about that fit?
I mean, I trained with Robert for multiple camps back in 2013-ish, 20-teens, whatever. I don't know. I don't. You mentioned Ryan as being this aggressive, offensive guy. I don't like him fighting like that. I don't think that's where he's at his best. He was better when he was fighting off his back foot, using that rangefinder jab and whipping counter left hooks. Him going forward, he just has too many fundamental flaws on his defense. His hand position isn't in the right place. You cannot be an offensive fighter and your hands don't come back to your face.
Right.
And his hands don't. He throws a left hook and the right hand flies out and the chin goes up. Those are things that, listen, I understand. You could take photos of every fighter, me included, where the hands are down. Like that happens. But with him, it just happens too consistently. So if you're going to be that type of fighter, hand position is really, really important. If you're going to be aggressive, I mean. But if you're a counterpuncher, it's different because he has the physical gifts, the length, the speed, the power. Make the guys come to you. When you're tall, you have that range advantage. Every fight starts at a distance. They have to get to you. And if you are taller, you start out with a competitive advantage. So for him to go forward all the time, he's giving up that advantage. And I don't think that's a great fit with a Robert Garcia type who, like you said, is very offensive minded, throws combinations. Ryan doesn't throw combinations. So
what do you, I've seen some fighters say, like, I think, you know, his deficiency is defense. So therefore he should be with a defensive, like an offensive fighter with offensive gifts, natural offensive gifts, should go with a trainer that specializes in defense. Fact or fiction?
I don't agree. I don't agree with that either. I don't think his deficiencies in defense means that he needs to go to a defensive coach where he's going to be rolling and sliding and slipping underneath shots and using upper body moves. That's not him either. Tall guys don't do that. He needs to utilize his range, his length, his, like I said, his power, his ability to pull the trigger and counter. He's got a great judge of range. He's really good at that. And that, you know, dude, that left hook is still a nasty, nasty punch and probably be so at 40 too. So I don't think you're going to go out there and change him and make him an upper body rhythm fighter where he's going to be rolling shoulders and sliding shots. That's not really him stylistically or physically. Again, I think staying long, staying strong, countering, slowing down the pace because he's got the speed advantage is only going to bring to light how much faster he is than the guys that he fights if he slows down the total pace instead of just always seek and destroy going forward and getting clipped with shots.
Is there something about like maybe a trainer being like, wait a second, I don't know if I want to, for lack of a better term, get in bed with Ryan Garcia because look, he's kind of chewing up and spitting out these trainers, like whether it's Canelo's team, whether it's Joe Goosen's team. It's like, do you want to be part of, yes, you'll be part of some big fights and you'll make money. That's what it's all about. Especially in the training business, they do make money. There might be a little trepidation from some of these top coaches. It's like, I don't want to deal with someone that could potentially be you know, a collaborative camp or so much in the headlines and all that?
A big part of camp and teams that it gets looked over is the relationship between the trainer and the fighter and also the camp culture. So, you know, we talk about Anthony Joshua and his training with Robert Garcia, and he brought Robert over there, and Robert came home and spoke candidly about the fact that I think it was a problem that he trained over there. He was comfortable over there. Now he's training over in Texas with Derek James, which I think was a good move. Getting uncomfortable is important. Being in with a camp culture surrounded by a bunch of studs and lions who are working hard every day, it makes you elevate your game. So I think Ryan needs to be brought into a situation like that. Like, he's had silk sheets before he had a title. That's usually the other way around.
Doesn't have a title yet.
So, yeah, exactly. Still doesn't have a title. So, you know, he's made money. He's been in control. He's been in the driver's seat. I think he needs to take a back seat and go into a camp where maybe he's not the top dog and he's got to earn his keep and be competitive. Competitiveness is such a big part of culture of a camp that makes fighters elevate. I'm not sure if he's been in camps. I'm speaking from what I've seen. I don't know exactly, but I think if you have a coach who's a boss and is going to tell you to do things you need to do, you're going to be around other killers who are trying to knock your block off too, and have big fights come around you. I think that matters. Like that culture, that air in the room matters.
Well,
you know? So
if that's the case, he couldn't have been part of any bigger team than Canelo's. It was Canelo, Valdez, Frank Sanchez. There was a whole host of guys. They all left, but that wasn't really on Ryan. I feel like the more that comes out, I think Canelo and Eddie Reynoso puts a lot of attention with Canelo, rightfully so, and it seemed like a lot of fighters left that camp. Andy Ruiz was part of it one time. We'll see. Maybe he will do that. He will find an uncomfortableness when it comes to camp. Well, it's going to play out, that's for sure, and we're all going to know about it. One thing Ryan Garcia should do, he should go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, because right now we're in the middle of a raging sports season. My Rangers just got eliminated. The Devils have moved on in the NHL. It's all heating up over there. The Bruins lost. They had 65 wins in the regular season, and they got bounced. The Knicks earned full swing. Me and Shakur Stevenson have a little side bet going on. I say Knicks in six. He says Heat in five. But baseball is in full swing for sure. Whether you're rooting for your team or you're betting on your favorite player, go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. You can new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in free bonus bets instantly. Plus, everyone can hit one out of the park with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. We like that. I love parlays. Why not get them stepped up? You can boost your winnings each leg. You can add up to 100%. I got the app open right now.
And, I'm opening mine up as we speak. I have yet to get up on there, but
you're a new customer. You're eligible for this.
I know. That's why. I listened to your ad, and I'm like, hey, listen, I need to get on this.
See, it works for even the co-hosts of the show. New customers, like I said, $5 bet, and you get $150 in bonus bets. I haven't really revealed my Canelo pick. I like the over. I'm just looking at that, and I'm looking at some futures in the NBA. Knicks to win the championship. Ronnie just looked at me like I had five heads. Plus 2,500. A Canelo overs 8.5. Not that I'm going to do this. A Canelo over 8.5 and the Knicks to win the championship. Plus.
That's a parlay.
That's a parlay and a half. Plus 4,700 odds. But those are the types of odds.
That's a bridge too far, bud.
That's the type of things you could. I mean, even the Warriors are plus money on some futures. Take a look at some futures in the MLB. Take a look at some futures all around. You can do parlays. You can do everything on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Join now on DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the app. Sign up with code IBL. That's the code you're going to want to use, Chris. IBL. New customers can bet just $5 and get $150 in bonus bets instantly only at DraftKings with code IBL. It's kind of sad that I'm out of breath. Chris, whip me into shape. I'm breathing heavily.
Okay, we can spar.
No.
That's the fastest way to get in shape, spar.
You know, I was thinking like maybe like a speed walk. Maybe like a couple push-ups.
Dude, you're 35, not 65. Let's ratchet it up.
Did you see my era in Blitzball Battle 3?
I did not.
Go to my Instagram right now. I made a debilitating era. The game.
You're killing me. I'm still trying to sign up DraftKings here, and now you're telling me to check out your
Do you say era?
Error.
You're saying era.
Error.
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 My era ended with that error.
Ronnie, thank you for clearing that up. Yeah. I thought he meant his ERA. I don't know.
What three different terms there. Yeah, if you haven't checked out the Blitzball Battle, I know we're going through two different worlds here, but you should check it out. Even if you're a boxing fan, listen to our show on the Warehouse Games YouTube page. I went up against Trevor Plouffe, former major leaguer, hit 106 home runs in the show. Game on the line, ground balls hit to me, booted it.
Don't spoil.
It's out already.
I guess.
Booted it. Next pitch, Plouffe hits a walk-off home run. And I never look more old. They chanted old. Usually they chant old when I'm doing something good. The old when you, after an error, hits different.
Error.
Yeah.
Error.
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 Tune in tonight.
He's from Long Island, Ronnie. We speak a different language.
I don't have that bad of a Long Island accent, do I?
No,
you
That's
don't.
A good thing.
You're worse than me, but...
some other news in the boxing world. Regis Progre is reportedly signing a 3-fight deal with Matchroom Boxing. The more I think about this, the more, okay, it makes a little bit of sense. I mean, the guy is 34 years old, finally recaptures a world title last year, right? Got a piece of the title at 140. And for years, this guy has been frozen out of big fights because he either signed pro bellum, he was independent, whatever. He was always on the outside looking in, especially after the Super 6 series when he lost to Josh Taylor. Now that he's got the belt, there's guys avoiding him like Jose Ramirez. He's not getting these big fights, and now he's a free agent, which is a great thing to be in boxing, especially when you're 34 years old and you have a title and you're panning out the rest of your career. Matchroom is an interesting choice for him because all they have at 140 is Richardson, Hitchens, and Jack Catterall. Fun fights, but not the fights that we really want to see. Now, Devin Haney is still at 135. He says, I might stick around 135 to fight Tank. I might stick at 135 to fight Stevenson. But he's talked about going to 140 for several years now. Could Haney go back to Matchroom? If Haney goes back to Matchroom, then that's another name for Progre to fight. Haney versus Progre on Matchroom on DAZN would be cool. Then you take a look around some of the other champions, Chris. Subriel Matias is with the PBC. You got Josh Taylor, who has two belts. He's with Top Rank, and he's facing Teofimo Lopez, who, from what he says, is on his last fight with Top Rank. That's what he says, though. So the way I look at this, very fractured. There's a lot of moving parts. Like, if Haney goes to Matchroom, then it makes sense. If Haney stays at ESPN and Top Rank, I think that Progre should go to Top Rank because that's where the biggest fights are. But also, this is what I want to ask you. You're a fighter. You're a guy that signs deals because you want to make the most money. He's probably going to take, which he did, the biggest money offer out there, which was for Matchroom. That's my long-winded look at Regis Progre.
Well, you said he's 34. He's had some good paydays. He's now a two-time world champion. You want the biggest fights possible, and you need them kind of quick. But listen, the landscape changes so fast. So if he signed a sweetheart deal with opponents that aren't going to be massive, you know, the money's the money. So get the bag. And then if the big fights materialize because, listen, you're in demand, they'll get made. And we're seeing that more now. We're seeing cross-promotional fights happening more and more these days, which is a beautiful thing for boxing. It's so needed. So I wouldn't worry as much. It's not like it was 10 or 15 years ago where if you sign to Matchroom or X promotion, you're stuck with that promotion. So I think that's probably a smart move on Team Progress.
It's a smart move, like, yeah, from the standpoint of a fighter and making the best financial deal. He's made a lot of money in his career, but he hasn't really been in a super fight. It's kind of crazy. Besides the Taylor final, which was 2019, he made a lot of money with Pro Bellum, like $1 million payday to fight Ivan Redcatch. He made a lot of money. I think that was Triller. He made a lot of money with Pro Bellum while they were still in business. And you thought, okay, now that he's a free agent, he's 34, like he'll obviously go to Top Rank because that's where a lot of the 140 guys are. But that's not the case.
Yeah, but
money
doesn't pay the way that some of the other guys do. So there's a reason Top Rank's been in business a long time. And, you know, they're very smart with the way they pay.
Right.
They make you earn. You know, listen, they pay their guys when they get it, but they make you earn it on the way up. You got to fight tough fights all the time for quote-unquote lower money. Listen, I was able to fight for a bunch of different promotions, and I went for the money in the best fights.
Yeah.
And because I was not tied down to any singular promoter, I was able to get the biggest fights while on top of making good money. So – it's a little bit different. Like you said, being a free agent is a good thing, especially at 34, but time is ticking.
Time is ticking. People think he's young. He's not. I mean, in boxing life, he's not. He's 34.
No, 34 is not young for 140.
No. I mean, I'm happy for him. I root for him. I think he's universally beloved in boxing because he just gives you really good fights, and he's no nonsense. He's like a throwback type of fighter. And just to go back, every promotional company has their pluses and minuses. Like ESPN, maybe you say doesn't pay the top rank doesn't pay the top dollar, but you probably get the most exposure fighting on ESPN. Matchroom, you get probably the most money, it seems like, but you're also fighting on DAZN, which isn't ESPN. And with Matchroom especially, you're not getting these big fights. Like Hitchinson, not a huge fight. Jack Catterall, not a huge fight. Demanding that.
But that's what you're saying. Then there's no absolutes when you're talking about specific promotions, because then it's like, well, who do they got?
Exactly.
But again, I'm harkening back to where we are now in 2023. We're seeing cross promotional fights, and I think Pro Grey has enough juice outside of just the promotion that they'll go and try and make those bigger fights because they can. And that is the caveat of this deal, I believe.
Yeah. Pro Grey versus like Devin Haney at 140 would be fun. Pro Grey versus a Ryan Garcia. Pro Grey at 140. Pro Grey versus Taylor. Pro Grey versus Teofimo. I want to see all those fights. Those are awesome fights, and hopefully we do see those no matter where he signs with. Quickly before we get to Canelo, did you see that Deontay Wilder was arrested overnight in Los Angeles? I saw the tweet come across from Boxing Scene. Deontay Wilder arrested in L.A. charged with possession of a concealed weapon. I quote tweet and said, what, his right hand?
Good one.
I'll be here all week.
Ba-doom-tsh.
Yeah.
Nailed that's that a one. Cannon, though. It's very different. That's not a pistol. That thing is a cannon. I think he just forgot where he was. California, you can't.
Well, he was. There was
guns like that.
Yeah, there was weed.
Alabama is very different.
Yes. There was weed in the car. They smelt it. So maybe he did forget where he was. Get it?
Well,
oh, my God. I'm rolling right now.
Weed is allowed in California. Guns are not. Alabama is probably the opposite. Guns allowed, weed not. So he just forgot where he was.
I don't think anything's going to come of this. Like, he already got bail. Yes. I mean, he tweeted out, like, I'd rather be safe than sorry. Totally agree. Like, maybe hire a security team. Like, you don't have to carry guns. But if it makes you feel comfortable, I'm not trying to get into a whole gun discussion here on the show out of nowhere. But, like, whatever. Like, it's not the first fighter to carry a gun, not the last fighter to carry a gun. I think he's going to be just fine, and he'll be in the ring. It's not going to prevent him from any fights.
No, I don't think this is a big deal. I saw that, and I was like, all right. I mean,
you just kept scrolling.
The guy's from Tuscaloosa. Come on. Guys, guns are cool there. You can have a gun. Like, it's not illegal to have a carry. And I think that might actually be a non-licensed carry state, because a lot of hunting states allow not having a concealed carry license per se, because everybody's hunting, you have guns in your car all the time. So,
hey, what's rule number one of boxing?
Protect yourself at all times.
Okay. That's why you have a gun.
Bingo.
Nailed that one.
When you're 6'7" and can knock out a camel, I'm not sure you necessarily need a gun, but
shoot it afterwards. Make sure it's really dead. What are we doing here? Let's move on to Canelo. That is our gun segment brought to you by Smith & Wesson. Oh, no, we're not brought to you by them. Not yet. Let's get into Canelo Alvarez. He's back, everybody. He's back, and he says that he wants to be a pro golfer. That is a headline that also came out today. You never know what you're going to get in the boxing headlines. Like, you pull up Twitter, like that guy Michael Benson with two N's, the aggregator, I don't even know if he's a real human, tweeted out that Canelo said, after I'm done boxing, I want to be a pro golfer. I want to be on the PGA Tour.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool.
I would support that thoroughly. Good for him. That's right? Awesome to have a transition. They make a ton of money. And I mean,
I've
heard he's good.
He's awesome.
He's that good, but
he can get his way on because of his celebrity, but there's some
sure. I mean, you want to go out there and just,
You got to win the Open.
Shake it up. You got to be good.
There are probably some people out there that are going to look way into it and be like, he's already thinking about retirement. He's got one foot out the door.
Yeah, stop it.
It's his first fight in Mexico since 2011. This is crazy. 22 straight fights in the USA, beginning with that Mosley fight on the Mayweather-Cotto undercard that I was there for my first time in Las Vegas. And I remember this vividly. Rodney Harris.
That was his first US fight?
That was his last. That was from that point on. To now.
That was the last Mexico fight.
No, before that was a Mexico fight with Cintron. So then his fight after Cintron in November 2011 in Mexico City was Mosley in Vegas. And then from Mosley till now, It's all USA. And I remember this vividly. It was my first time in Las Vegas. I was working as a celebrity spotter for HBO. So I got to walk around with a camera and we had to find all the celebrities in the crowd and, you know, shoot their little cameo. And Rodney Harrison.
Oh, spotter, like spot someone.
Yeah, like there's Tom Brady. Okay. Like there's Tom Brady. Let's get the camera on him. So when they cut to all the celebrities that are there.
I thought you had to sit behind the cameraman and spot him to make sure that he could hold the camera on his shoulder.
I think I did that too. I was kind of like a grunt man. It was my little first job out of college, work, like interning, whatever, with HBO. And Rodney Harrison, former Patriots standout player, was like, yo, who's this guy in the ring? I'm like, yo, it's Canelo. Canelo Alvarez. He's like, he's the next thing. He's like, no, he's nice. Because he was piecing up Mosley, an old Shane Mosley in that one.
Yeah.
But that's how long ago it was since Canelo has fought in Mexico. A lot of questions about Canelo Alvarez here. For the first time in a long time, we're questioning him. Let's take a look at his 2022. He loses to Bivol. We talked about this a lot on the show. Big mistake, we said. Shouldn't have done it. He loses to Bivol pretty decisively. Then he goes to a Golovkin fight that really no one asked for. It was the type of fight that Eddie Hearn was promising to zone shareholders. We got it. Fight did move the needle at all. Business-wise, fight-wise, fight was kind of a dud. Has hand surgery. So now, for the first time in a long time, Chris, we're questioning Canelo Alvarez. We're wondering, is he on the tail end of his career at age 32 because he's approaching 70 pro fights, been in this game for a really long time? Do you think it's time to start questioning Canelo Alvarez?
I'm not saying it's not the right time, but I'm saying I haven't seen enough yet. Because of what you just said, thinking about this is the whole talk. Are we on the tail end of Canelo? Is he on the slide? He's 32, so physiologically he's still in his physical prime. He's had a long career, though. But going off the Bivol fight, that's just a stylistic nightmare of a matchup. So I don't think that he's on the slide because of that fight. It just, that was a wrong matchup, bad matchup, young, hungry champion who turned out to be way better than everyone thought.
Mm-hmm.
And he still fought well. I mean, he did what he could, just didn't have anything for that style. And Bivol was just too good, too strong, too big. Then the Triple G fight, like you said, who was asking for that fight?
I mean,
I think Canelo and Triple G were because there was a lot of money for them. But otherwise, like, how up for that fight was Canelo? I think we all knew he was going to win that fight. And he kind of fought that way. It was workmanlike. He also hurt his hand. So he couldn't really sustain. Because I expected him to finish Triple G. Because I remember the Murata fight with Triple G getting hit with right hands by, I mean, seriously, unheralded Murata. And I was like, oh, boy, Canelo starts fast with this guy. And also he got hurt to the body. So I'm like, oh, man, Canelo is got a very sharp right hand and is one of the best left hookers to deliver in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So if Murata's hurting him, I mean, Canelo's going to stop him. So a little underwhelming in that performance. But again, listen, from someone who's hurt their hands in fights, it changes the whole dynamic of the fight. Your camp goes out the window. Like, everything you worked on changes because all you're thinking about that hand, you're protecting it. You can't throw the combinations that you're throwing. You can't throw the punches you are working on. Changes everything. So I think it's too soon to be like, oh, well, you know, Canelo's on his last leg or whatever. I haven't seen enough of him yet, especially performing at a level that would make me think that he's not there. Because, listen, right before Bivol was what? Who was that? Plant. Looked awesome in
looked
that
awesome. Fight. He was at the height of his powers. I mean, he was...
looked awesome in that fight. He looked unbeatable in that fight.
Right.
And before that was...
BJ Saunders.
He was incredible.
He was in the middle of his run. He was in the middle of his run at 168, unifying the belts in 12 months.
Boxing is amazing. Like, you go from literally unbeatable in everyone's mind to he's over the hill.
It's interesting. It's fun from my standpoint of like bringing up these questions and narratives. Like, we were just over the top praise for the guy, rightfully so, for about 3 years. He was on top of the game. He was doing things that we didn't even think was possible. Going up to 175, beating Kovalev, unifying 168 in a calendar year, putting 70,000 in Jerry World, doing incredible things. And I will give props to a fighter when they deserve it. He was carrying the sport, especially in 2020 when the sport was in serious trouble with the pandemic and all that. Like, he was one of the only positive things. He actually fought during the pandemic in February against Andrew Yildirim. Fight sucked, but it was something. You were there. It was something to watch. I remember being like pumped on a Saturday in February to see Canelo blast out Yildirim in two rounds.
It was also in Miami. It was a super cool stadium. Like, that was interesting. That was the first big major fight in Miami in I don't even know how long. That was a big deal.
Right.
They find ways to make it a big deal with Canelo because it's Canelo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, so now it's fine to question him, and I think he might actually use it as fuel, and he actually might be saying, like, I mean, listen, he's at the top of the top. He's made so much money. He's accomplished everything. 32 years old. He's not saying he wants to slow down anytime soon or retire, so maybe he needs that little bit of extra motivation and, oh, you're going to doubt me? Okay. I'll go fight Benavidez, or I'll go fight Abival again, like, which we do want to see, but he's got to get past John Ryder. But one other narrative in this fight is nothing to do with John Ryder. It has all to do with the mounting pressure on Canelo to fight David Benavidez. There is an appetite right now for big fights. We saw that with Ryan and Tank, mega event. It's time to give the fans what they want to see. It is shown that if the best fight the best,
people come out.
People come out and people will pay. Like we said, Canelo's last fight with Golovkin was stale. It didn't move the needle. His last fight with Bivol was only notable because he lost. So I think it's time right now to give the fans what they're clamoring for. I want to see Canelo versus Benavidez next. I think he's going to be asked about it a lot during this fight week. He's already been asked about it nonstop. Put the pressure on him. Fight Benavidez. Get him now before he gets any better. Give us another mega event.
Listen, you know I agree with that. I've been saying that for a couple months now. But the only two fights that anyone's going to be talking about after this fight, if Canelo beats Ryder, is Bivol and Benavidez. And I don't like the Bivol route. And even now, Canelo's talking about, oh, I got to fight him at 75 because people are not going to give me credit if I beat him at 68. So, yeah, Benavidez is the one that makes the most sense. And I think that's really what we're going to see in the fall. And listen, that's a mega fight.
You think so?
That's, oh, yeah, that's going to get, dude, it's Mexican versus Mexican.
So let's place you a wager then.
You cannot ever underestimate the Mexican fans and how they come out for their base. And they got, yeah, man, that's the fight that everybody wants. He's fighting an undefeated young stud who looked great against Caleb Plant just a few months ago. That's a mega fight.
And
that's going to get people to come out.
I think.
Because it's either going to be the extension of the legend of Canelo Alvarez, or it's going to be the birth of David Benavidez as a legitimate world-class superstar.
Love it. I mean, you're going to sell that fight to me anymore. Like, I mean, I agree with everything you said there.
That's sold myself.
Sure, I'm ready to run through a wall. I do want to see that fight so bad, but, like, I honestly don't think we're going to. I think he's going to fight Bivol next. And it's just going to come down to a matter of what weight it's going to be at. The stupid WBC won't sanction Bivol Beterbiev because of Bivol's, I don't even want to get into it. His ties to Russia and the war. It's just so dumb.
How are you going to hurt the athlete?
Right?
Come on, man.
It's ridiculous. Suleiman's an idiot.
Insane.
I think he's going to fight Bivol next. It's just a matter of it's going to be at 175 or it's going to be at 168. Bivol says, I want it at 168. And I want it for all your belts. Put the pressure on Canelo. Love that. Back him up against a corner a little bit. And Canelo says, no, if I do it at 168, everyone's going to criticize me. They didn't give me any credit for jumping up to 175. BS. Everyone gave you credit for jumping up to 175. You're Canelo Alvarez. Like, everyone talked about that. You just came up short, which should be fine to all fans, but it's not because Canelo at the top has a lot of haters. I honestly think he's going to fight Bivol next. They'll find a way to do it with Matchroom and DAZN. Eddie will do anything he can. They just signed a 3-year extension Matchroom with DAZN. They want to keep Canelo in there. Canelo seems very comfortable with Eddie and Matchroom. He wants to avenge that loss. Then in his mind, he'll probably be like, Benavidez will always be around.
Yeah, I mean, if he's going for legacy, if he gets that win over Bivol. The problem there is, unless it's an all-time classic, are we going to have to see a third then?
Oh,
And then Bivol and Canelo. Canelo wins the second fight.
I think it's put to bed then.
Is it?
Yes. I think it would be to go to the well a third time.
Is that fair, though? Bivol then is going to get on the podium and be like, hey, listen, I beat him once, he beat me once.
Yeah, but Bill, no offense to Bivol. If he says anything, like, does anyone really care what he says?
I mean, listen.
No disrespect at all, but he's not.
Obviously, Canelo cares what the fans say. So
he's starting to listen to fans, which is crazy. Do you think you'd see that? Like, reading that headline today, it's like, well, the fans aren't going to give me credit if I go to one. It's like, I've never heard Canelo. Like, things are starting to set in for him, which is, it's natural. I mean, it's boxing, like you said, like, to be on top for that long. And it's only a handful of guys that have ever been on top for as long as Canelo has been. Chris, I'll ask you right now, how does John Ryder win this fight? How does he pull off the upset of 2023?
He has to make it ugly. He's got to go in there. You know, he's a very crafty guy. He's physically strong. He's different body type than Canelo's used to fighting. He's actually really – Canelo's really good at fighting taller guys. So is John Ryder. But I think that John has to make this a really ugly fight in front of the inside. Give a look that he gave to Daniel Jacobs in the second half of that fight, where he was really mauling him, using his forearms to push him off, hitting him on the inside, letting his hands go in combination once they were close. And I think he's going to need to get past that middle distance on Canelo if he's going to stand a chance. And if he can get inside and keep busy, because Canelo's not the most busy guy. He likes to load up on his power shots and counter punches. So if John Ryder can get within that range and go to work on the inside, he can make this a fight.
He's very sturdy. I mean, he looks sturdy. I like the over 8.5. You're right. Canelo isn't a busy guy. He throws about 40 punches around. The thing with Ryder, he only throws 38 punches around, so he's going to have to up that. 36% of his landed shots are body shots. I like that from him. I was looking at Canelo versus southpaws. John Ryder is a southpaw. Canelo has historically struggled with southpaws. He's faced 5 southpaws.
Still Billy Joe Saunders.
Right. But even in that fight, Saunders had moments. Like, he's been out-jabbed by all 5 southpaws he's faced, but he's overcome it with insane power. 48% of his power shots against southpaws. That's bodes very well for Canelo. But the thing with Ryder is he's not like a slickster. Not a slick southpaw like Bivol, Saunders, or Lara. He's, like you said, a mauler. So I think Canelo will be able to neutralize a lot of the things that Ryder's going to do in there. What comes down to it is, like, we talked about this with Joshua. There's like Canelo, like a decision victory would obviously be great, because then we'll move on to bigger fights, Canelo. But do you think like a knockout is needed for Canelo to really be like, yep, I'm back?
Yes, because a lot of the global fans don't know John Ryder. They don't know how good he is. They're seeing this as a mismatch. Like, who is this guy? But I think to the boxing world, who knows how capable John Ryder is, I think a decision will probably be just fine. But listen, when you're the face of boxing and you're the money train, you got to perform. You got to step up. So if he goes out there and he stops John Ryder, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know it's a pay-per-view, and fans have a little bit of pay-per-view fatigue, especially with DAZN, who had a nightmare of a night on the Ryan Tank, you know, not being able to see some fans weren't able to see it. They didn't get refunded. There isn't a lot of like good buzz around this fight. It's just Canelo, and I'll be watching, and a lot of fans will be watching. We'll be doing some type of stuff after the fight, whether it's a live show or something on Sunday morning, going over it, because I think Canelo comes out on top. I think he will win this fight, and then we're just going to be looking toward the next thing. It's going to be Benavidez, Bivol. He's going to be just, what's next? What's next? We want to see Canelo in big fights. We want to see what's next. So that's a big storyline in this fight. One last thing before we say goodbye. I want to say thanks to everybody who's given us a lot of kind words on our Shakur Stevenson interview. It was our first fighter interview together. Shakur was awesome. I kind of shied away from doing fighter interviews lately because, you know this, Chris, you've done a lot of them as a fighter in the lead up to fights. And, you know, it's, you don't always get a lot of info out of them because the fighters are either making weight or they just, you know, don't want to talk. They're not in a media mode. But Shakur is awesome, and it was awesome to see like how mature he is and like see fans comment on that and kind of understand where we were coming from. So I appreciate all the kind words from our interview with Shakur.
Yeah, I'm a bigger fan of him now having him on the show, because he was, I mean, listen, the kid is dialed in every way. Dialed in when it comes to training, dialed in when it comes to fighting, dialed in when it comes to interviews. I mean, he is all you young guys should be paying attention to Shakur, even though he's a young guy. But he's on a whole different level when it comes to mental preparation and preparedness. So, yeah, I mean, very, very high. I'm even more bullish on Shakur now than before.
Yeah, go to our YouTube page, Inside Boxing Live on YouTube. You go check out that interview. Go check out this weekend, or this week too. We have a really good preview that we shot a few weeks back in our live lounge, Canelo Ryder preview. And we'll have plenty of stuff after the fight, especially over on socials, John Boy Boxing and all that good stuff. I really never ask any of you guys to go out and follow and like and subscribe, but that always helps. All right, Chris.
We should ask people to do that.
More. I know. It's like a thing that,
you know,
like,
dude, we got so much love when we were at the Gervonta Davis fight from everybody that we ran across. We ran to so many people just walking around the carpets of the casino. People like, hey, we love your show. You guys are great. So you know what? Go sign up. I'll ask. You're not going to ask. I'll be the guy. Go sign up. Go click the follow button. Like and comment.
There you go. Wow. Okay. That's it. You're officially a media guy. Chris just told everyone to go like and subscribe to our YouTube page. Chris, that's it. I can cry. I can honestly cry. You're officially a media guy now.
We did it.
I woke up a pundit. I don't know what happened.
Everybody, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Don't carry a concealed weapon in Los Angeles. And we out.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.